I am still in the Christmas spirit. Though the text I'm going to use is not necessarily about Christmas, but I'm still in the Christmas spirit. And one of the things I think you all recognize from my preaching on the last two Sundays, that a lot of the things that humanize Christmas, you know, in other words, everybody around and the animals there on the field, and some of the things that we become accustomed to being a part of Christmas wasn't there. And that the birth of Jesus was hard. The Bible says there was no room in the inn. He just came. The next thing he jumps to is that the birth of Jesus came. I don't have to tell the women this, but maybe I have to need to tell the men that everybody doesn't make it to the hospital. Everybody doesn't make it to a nice place. That when the baby is due to be born, they just start coming. The water breaks, the amniotic fluid, and they just start coming. I can only assume by the text that's what happened with Mary. There was no midwife there. There was no somebody feeling sorry. Hey, there's a woman out here, and she's pregnant. Will one of you give up your room? Or will one of you help? Or will one of you just invite them in? There was none of that. It was just simply, we're going to have this baby. Two young kids, possibly, especially with Mary. We knew she was young. Joseph, we don't know. But they knew they had to do with what they had to do. What was the message in that? The message is, it's not where you come from, but it's where you're going. Y'all hear me? It's not where you come from. Because whenever you think about life being challenging for you, whenever you think about life being hard for you, whenever you think about life being difficult for you, just think about Jesus' birth as the scripture says. They didn't even have a cradle, a bed, put the baby in, put in a trough. That trough has meaning because a trough is where animals feed from. We are the mangers today where people come to get the bread of life. Can I get a witness? And the living water. We are the ones. We have it. This is why we have church. We open it up for the whole of the neighborhoods to come, the community to come. Come and get fed the word of God. Why I don't waste my time or waste your time, that I stick with what God says, because that is the food that will nourish us. Can I get a witness? Has anybody else been fed the word of God and it has nourished your soul and kept you going from week to week? Is that why you show back up? I know it's why I do. And mention on that, this Wednesday, we don't have Bible study during the week, but I will reinforce the week after we'll kick back up. And also, too, for those I'm working with one-on-one, we'll contact you on that. I believe this is not a resolution, and I'm not trying to be the prophet of God, but I just believe that this is going to be a breakout year for Living Hope Fellowship. I mean, I just believe that it's going to be a breakout year. That the people of God, they're going to do more of in the park praying. They're going to do more of impacting this community. That Living Hope is going to do more of taking the word, not just impactful here, but taking it out and impacting there. I believe this is going to be an impactful year. And that God's going to send many new Christians your way. So this morning, I want to talk about essentials for newborns. If God sends a bunch of people, you know, you have newborn babies, but you also have older people like myself who don't know Jesus. And they're actually newborns also. What are we supposed to do with them? You know, what happens if God overwhelms us with a bunch of new Christians that don't know Jesus? And many of them old like Pastor Gainey. What do we do with them? So these are love essentials for the born believer. You might ask, again, why am I using this text, which is Ezekiel 16, 1 through 6? Because it's not prophetic necessarily, other than the one who is espousing this is a prophet, Ezekiel. The word Ezekiel, we see El in it at the end. El means God. Ezekiel means strength. So his name, strength of God. That we receive strength from God in the worst situations. We already went over what Jesus' birth was like coming into the world, and it was nothing like the depictions that we have that humanize that picture. It was tough. Well, our depiction in verses 1 through 6 of Ezekiel is like that. Ezekiel is actually writing and preaching at a time when Israel is about to go into slavery under the Babylonians. So it would have been somewhere around early 600 B.C. But his words, I believe, are indicative of what Jesus went through as a newborn. And it says from Ezekiel 16, 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came to me. Have you ever had the word of the Lord to come to you? This is a guy I want to listen to. This is a person I want to hear from. Why is that? Because he makes it very plain. I didn't just make this up. I didn't just have some visions from somewhere, though the book is many visions, even apocalyptic like Revelations. But he said, it is the word of the Lord that came to me. And it said, son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable practices. Now I'm going to be upfront with you about what the detestable practices was. The detestable practices were that they were mixing their worship. They would worship God, but then in the evening time they'd go and worship in the high places. Most of you, when you sit there, what is the high places? Well, just think about in your life when you got high. Anybody here been high before? Okay, one or two of you, one of you. The place where you went, or things that you did to get you to a place that felt like God. I'll put it like that. All of us have experienced that before. A pseudo or a false place. Putting things in our lives or allowing people to give us false hope. This is where Ezekiel is. He's called the watchman because he not only preaches to those who are in captivity. You know, this is where we get the story in Ezekiel 37 about the dry bones. They were in captivity, and God says, can these bones live? But he also preaches to the surrounding people, people who were not even Jews, the Egyptians, the Tyrians. Why is that? Because all people were did. By Babylonian, these people were trying to be a world power. So they enslaved many people. The thing that profounds me when I read the book of Ezekiel, Esther, is that not only does Ezekiel preach to those who are in captivity, but he preaches to those who did not go over to Babylon. I mean, I don't know how he did that. But again, this is apocalyptic writing, a good deal of it. We, in our concern, if you ever go back and study the book of Ezekiel, it is basically a human development chapter. 63 verses. It's a long chapter. The first six deal with the newborn and what happens when they don't get the proper treatment. That's my connection with Jesus and his birth. He should have got treated better. Can I get a witness here? Somebody should have stood up and said, I'll give up my bed. I'll give up my place. I'll make sure that they have a meal. I'll make sure that this doesn't have to happen like this. Even though God meant it to happen like that, so we could see where you can and I can come from. What do you do? How can I help prepare you? I'm talking about Living Hope now, and the Living Hope that is listening online this morning. How can we get prepared? Well, first of all, do you believe that we're going to get new baby Christians this year? I got a feeling there are some folks that are excited even at the thought of. Then there are others that are saying, you know what? I'm pretty comfortable with the way I am. I want it to stay like it is. Sorry. I believe that God is going to bless you because you've been praying for it. And he's going to send the people to you. I want to help prepare you this morning on how to relate to those people. Are you with me? All right. Four principles in relating to these people that God's going to send your way. But let me finish reading for you 3 and 5. He says, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Jerusalem. Your ancestry and birth were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother Hittite. Now, of course, we know that Israel did not come from the Canaanites. They did not come from the Amorites or the Hittites. So what is Ezekiel trying to say? What Ezekiel is trying to say is that you were put in a place where they were first. Are you with me? You were put in a place, in a country that was not yours. And I gave it to you. I blessed you with it. It was my desire to have the people who believe in me here in this place. Are you with me? Am I making sense to you? He says, no one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. That's what we want to uncover this morning. What are the things that should have been done for the newborn? Rather, you were thrown out into an open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. Now, he's talking about Israel. But cannot the same thing be said about Jesus? On the day you were born. You remember King Herod? What did he try to do? On the day you were born. He says, I'll kill every boy that's 2 years and under to get to them. Because I am the king of the Jews, not you. Four principles. What do we need to do with newborns? Well, help cut the cord of the world. In 16:4a, in all of our lesson this morning, comes from the fourth verse. It says, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut. Now, for you young people, you may not know. You may know this because I think everybody here is old enough to know it. You are connected to the old world by your umbilical cord. I think I'm saying that right. Umbilical or umbilical? Biblical, not imbiblical, but unbiblical. Unbiblical cord. The cord that the nourishment runs through that's connected to your mother. I learned something, and that is that babies, when they are in their mother, are not in the womb until about 3 months. That's when the placenta forms and feeds it. The amniotic sac is not there until about 3 months. So what are they eating on? They're eating on the yolk that was a part of where they came. Our God is amazing. And sometimes, it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes the baby will attach itself to something that will give them a blood supply. Am I making sense to you? Because that's where the nourishment runs from. That means it's an ectopomic birth, where it's done outside of the womb. And the child can survive. The birth is a lot more difficult and probably would have to be done by a cesarean section. But all babies have a cord. Are you with me? It's the connection again. I don't know what tells it to do that, but it's going to connect somewhere where we can get those nutrients from mama. That cord doesn't have to be cut, but it will be cut in terms it will dry up once the baby is born. Am I making sense to you? Well, it says here that the cord was not cut. The cord that gave you nourishment from the womb, the other world, the cord that gave you comfort, the cord that gave you the fluid to move around in that amniotic sac and feel like you were secure, you had your security, the cord was not cut. When people come to Living Hope, many of them, all of them, are still going to be connected to the world. Can I get a witness? That means there isn't a person in here, even though you may be saved now, and the reason why you're saved is because you or somebody else with you cut the cord. Am I making sense? Every one of us come from the world. Every one of us come from some comfort zone in the world. And Jesus beckons us and said, look, I need for you to trust in me more than you trust in your money. I need you to trust in me more than what you put in your body. I need for you to trust in me more than you trust even your father, your sisters, and your brother. I can be all of those things for you. You need to cut the cord. We as a church need to help with that. Because sometimes it's hard. Can I get a witness? How many of us came, we had all of the hallelujahs down. We had the clap right. We had all of the worship stuff going on. But when we left out of here, we left the clap. We left the hallelujah. And we went right back to the world. I want to say that there are some old Christians. There are some old people who have been in the Lord for a while and have never cut the cord to the world. That means you have never experienced what it means to be fully in the arms of Christ. That means that you have never experienced what it means to fully put yourself in the hollow of God's hands for your life. You will never know what it means to be a grown-up Christian if you never cut the cord. Can I have a witness? Am I right about that? God says through Ezekiel that your cord was not cut. Why does he say that? What he's saying is that for many of you, you are still in the world. You are still trusting your stuff. You are still trusting other people. You are trusting political leaders. You are trusting some other political power. You are even making relationships with your enemy, which is not going to save you. They're going to take you just like they took everybody else. They didn't cut your cord, but I cut your cord. You know, God doesn't just cut the cord for us when we're born anew the second time, but he cuts all the time. because there are parts of our life that needs pruning, doesn't it? Can I get a witness? He says in John 15, 1 and 2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You see, we attach ourselves to God. Hey, y'all, we attach ourselves to God. We're like that baby. We attach ourselves to God through Jesus Christ. He is the nourishment. He is the food. Can I get a witness here? And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So he's cutting all the time, Deacon Tom. He's cutting all the time, Kelly, in order that what? That we might grow and bear fruit. You know, if you're not bearing any fruit, it could mean that you're too much involved in the world. This is why I don't have any time for nationalism or, you know, Christian nationalism, because that won't save anybody. It may make the world like you want it to be, you know, in terms of a political perspective, but it won't save even one person. The only thing that will save a person is Jesus. That's the only thing that will save a person is Jesus. And we need a Savior. Nobody will fight with you on that. There are some things that we run upon and we discover our money can't save us. Our power can't save us. Nobody can save us. We need a Savior. Now, who is your Savior? My Savior is Jesus. I serve a risen Savior who is in the world today, and I know that he is living regardless of what people say. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along narrow way. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives inside of me. I am the new manger. I am the house. I am the temple that the wise men found Jesus in. That's how I know. You can argue with me. You can fight me on it. But you better conclude something. I'm just the messenger. You fight with God. He lives in me. And I have given him permission, Javier, to keep cutting on me, to keep pruning me. It hurts sometimes because some of the stuff we get involved in, we get emotionally tied to. Can I get it with me? You know? And it's hard to give it up. But God says, come here, I got you. Ah! Go on. Ah! Cut out that tongue. We got to help cut the cord to the old world and help them to understand that it is a bright new world that's waiting for us in Jesus. Am I wrong or right about that? That's way, way better than anything that the world has promised to you. And that's a false promise if the world makes it, because the world can't give you peace. And the world can't give you joy. Number two, help wash off the afterbirth with the word. Help wash off the afterbirth with the word. And the first thing is help get the cord. I got to help people. I got to help newborns cut the cord. Sometimes it's hard. Can I get a witness? It's only the ones that don't want to admit it that don't raise their hand on that one. But it's hard. But sometimes we walk around with the stuff on us from the old life. Can I get away with it? We like to even dress like it. There's nothing worse than somebody saying I'm a Christian. And then I see them somewhere and they, you know, I can't even do the dance up here. But you know what I'm talking about, you know. and dropping it, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'm just simply saying, that's afterbirth. I've got to learn how to dress somebody who's success in Christ. I got to learn how to act like somebody who is a success in Christ. He says, on the day you were born, your cord did not cut, nor, number two, were you washed with water to make you clean. Now here again, for those of you who have never seen a child born, I happen to have had that opportunity. Thank to Cheryl letting me in. I have to say something. The first time, she was a little hesitant about me being in there, and she said something. I am not going to repeat them in here about you did this to me. And when the baby is born, they don't look so good, y'all. Because they've been in that liquid for what, 9 months? You stay in water for 9 months, you're going to look wrinkly too. You're not going to be the prettiest sight. And then they came through the birth canal and they've been beat up. So they may have a couple of scars on them and this type thing. And then they've got the amniotic fluid that is on them also. Now the nurses tried to make it a little better. Sometimes they just give you the baby, and that's all right too. But for the daddy, you probably want to clean them up. And that always at least looks a little better. But scripture says, Olga, that nobody washed you. They didn't cut the cord and they didn't wash you either. They just kept you in the old world stuff. Y'all don't hear me. That's our habits. That's our way of thinking. You know, I'm not connected to it. I don't do that anymore per se, but you know what? I don't speak to it either. I don't help anybody else who is still living in that life because I'm just let it go. Sometime in my family, my children do things that I know that is not according to the word of God. I let it go because I want to have peace in the house. But God says, you know what? When you have stinking thinking, you're not with me. You need to sometime call it out. They need to know that your house is a house of God. And we believe in cleanliness here. And I'm not just talking about sweeping or getting that electronic sweeper that goes to your house. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about cleaning up your life with God's word. In Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. How do you do that? Holiness means to be cleansed, means to be separated. How do you do that? By cleansing her by the washing with water through the what? With the word. You mean that the word will clean my life up? It's better than Ajax. It's better than ivory. It's better than the best soap in the whole wide world in terms of cleaning up your life. That not only means your behavior, but it also means your thinking. That when I start thinking like the word says, I'm going to get a cleaned up life. Can I get a witness? Let me tell you, words are powerful. Words are powerful. If I want to be a pilot, Cheryl and I, we flew back east to Florida. We were on that plane and I slipped the whole way. Cheryl seldom sleeps, but she slipped coming back like a baby. And I was so glad to see her getting her sleep and her rest on that plane. She trusted that pilot. Why did she trust that pilot? Because the pilot had words that I don't have. If she would have saw me, I'll go up and fly the plane. Don't worry, babe. Even if we were in the worst turbulence, she don't want to see me trying to fly that plane. Words are powerful. Words can change your life and have you do a new skill, a new profession. But the greatest thing that the word does is it cleans you up. You know, we sing about it all the time, don't we? Oh, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. I like the way my mama used to say it. Nothing But the blood of Jesus, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, how precious is the flow. That can make me clean as snow. What can make my life whole? Nothing but the blood. Jesus. I'm waiting for today, Susie, because my life has been cleaned up. Anybody like me here where your life was kind of on the dirty side? I know it's a hard thing. Don't raise your hand, but just go like this. You know, just let the Lord know that I've been washed, but it's not because I've used good soap. I've been washed. That's why I go to the Bible study on Sunday morning. I love the teaching, and I love it, but I'm looking for the washing. Can I get a witness? Because I know there's some areas that are tough for me to get to. And when I've eaten like I did over Thanksgiving holiday, it's even harder to get to some places, you know. But the word will get to every place. And it'll clean you up. I don't know of anything else that can do that. Make you satisfied. Is anything more satisfied than being clean? Amen. Number three, teach tough love. So what do we got so far? Number one, help the babies cut the cord. Number two, help get what? Cleaned up. Number three, teach tough love. Tough love. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean. Nor were you rubbed with salt. Nor were you rubbed with salt. Now, what does that have to do with tough love? Okay. We don't think about salt as being tough love. But if you grew up, Brother John's from South Carolina. I call him my cousin already because we got this South Carolina thing going on. I immediately gravitated to him because I know that culture. And he knows that culture also. Can I get a witness, John? Good fried chicken, little cornbread, and some beans. Can I get a witness? Your country ham. I'm glad you mentioned that ham. Because you see, I grew up with a mom and a daddy that didn't have a refrigerator. I grew up with a mom and daddy that didn't know anything about freezers. But what they had was cured. Y'all don't hear me. What they had was cured ham. Or ham that was put in a smokehouse. Which means that it was salted and then put away because what the salt would do, it would make the meat tougher. It would make the meat resistant to the oxidation process that would happen. And they were able to eat on that just about all year. Can I get a witness? This is how they survive. Well, when a baby is most vulnerable is when they're born because their skin, this is over here, soft like a baby's skin. Well, if you don't put some lotion on that thing or put something on it to make it a little bit more resistant, and especially to the sun, then it's not going to be so pretty after a while. And so we have those things to put on there now. But at that particular time, they used salt. Probably put it in a solution and rubbed it on it to make it tough. Well, where does the teaching of tough love come in? I've got to be taught that even though you may be my friend, in the world. As I go to the new world, I may have to cut you loose, but it'll be using tough love. Are you with me? In other words, I'm still praying for you. I'm still concerned about you. Anybody here got some family members like that? I still love you, but it's tough love. What do you mean by that? There's some things I don't do no more. There's some places I don't go no more. There's some things I don't listen to anymore. It doesn't mean that I hate you. It doesn't mean that I'm through with you. It just means that I've got to love you out of distance. I've got to use some salt. Look, I don't cut you off. I don't kick you to the curb. Because I believe that everybody has a right to the tree of life. Everybody has a right to be tree pruned by God. But I know that in order for us to go further in life, you got to use tough love. I can't be involved in that anymore. I can't go to that place anymore. I can't allow you to come into my space and we behave like we did. Can I get a witness? And I've got to use tough love. You know one thing about salt that I discovered too? Also, look at what he says right here. You, this is what Jesus says. You are the salt. You are the salt. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You know, many people I heard interpret this text right here, Javier, to mean that when salt loses its saltiness, that it's no more good. But I come from Syracuse, New York, where even old salt is good. Why is that? Because even old salt will cause the ice and the snow to melt so that you can get good traction. Y'all don't hear me. So that when you walk and you don't stumble because the salt has done its job. Even though it's not salt that can be used on food, it will never lose its power to make that slippery surface rough so that you can walk on it again. Well, what is God trying to teach us here? And that is that you can help people to get up and get a good footing and to walk like he wants you to walk. He said that I'll be a light for you unto your path. I'll order your steps. I'll get you where you're supposed to be if you just allow me to guide you. Can I get a witness? Am I right about it? How many of you are where you are today, not because you were so smart or not because you were so wise, but because he walks with me and he talks with me and he guides me along the narrow way, even in my darkest hour. He shows up. He never sleeps. Even when I'm sleeping, he tries to make a way for me. I know that there are many types of Christians who say that I'm through with the world. And they try to run away from the world. They even start new Christian communes where there's only people like them that are there. The only problem with that is I don't see that in the Bible. What I hear in the Bible is, go ye into all the world and take your salt. Take that salt that I've given you and help people. Sometime it has to be love. Sometime it has to be where you help hold them up until they get strong enough to go on their own. But you salt. You take your salt in this. And you help the world to find me. May have to be tough love. I know a woman one time who was married to a man, and he was a mean man. Oh, Pastor Kim, he was a mean guy, not like you, nice guy you are. He was a mean fella. And he got sick. He was married to his wife for 45 years, and he got sick. And this was a point where that wife could say, good for you. You just stay where you are. You treated me like trash my whole life. But instead of doing that, she came back and she helped him through his sickness. And he got better. And he asked her, how could you come back? How could you come back and take care of me after I treated you so bad? love with me. And she said, no, I'm not in love with you. You killed that many years ago, but I love you. You see, it's a tough love. I don't want to do it, but the God inside of me compels me to go to my enemy, compels me to go to those who are undeserving, compels me to go. I'm not in, but I love you as my brother in the name of Jesus. I'm no fool. I know how you treated me, and I know some of that stuff is still in me. But you see, I'm not here for you. I'm here for Jesus. Number four, give a hug. You know, I said there were four principles, but there are five. You got time? We'll be done. Give a hug. On the day you were born, your cord is not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloth. Now, you remember Jesus, the first thing he told, the angel told the shepherds, how would they know that it's Jesus? He'd be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Those cloths were puppet cloths that people used to milk the cows with and so forth, but they wrapped him. Why do you do that? Well, here's a couple of pictures of different cultures where babies are swaddled. It's assimilation of the comfort of being in the amniotic fluid. You spent 9 months in a pretty nice, you know, I mean, it's pretty cushiony. It's like an Escalade. When you're in the amniotic fluid, then you come out into the world. No wonder you crying. Ah! Not only did you smack me, but I've been woke up to the reality. This can sometimes not be as nice of a world as the world I came from. Swaddling helps one to feel all the time like they're comfort, they're loved. I believe one of the most important parts of our worship service is when you get up and go and greet somebody. I hate to not do that. I know sometimes, okay, you got to get into the word, but I hate it because I think you need it. There's somebody in here that needs a hug. There's somebody in here that hasn't been hugged in so long, and they're yelling out for it, but sometimes we only go to those who we like. Or sometimes we only go to those who look like us. Or sometimes we go only to those who we think can help us up. They have some money. We can only go to the folks who got money. Maybe they'll give us a dollar or two. Y'all wouldn't do that, but I mean, you know. There are a lot of people who just need to know that you embrace them because that's your brother or sister. Now, let me just tell you a final word here, because you can't force people to hug. Are you with me? And especially where males and females are concerned. A lot of females have been in abusive situations, or they've come from some environments where they were used and abused, and so they don't want to be touched. And I say, you must respect that. Are you with me? You must respect that. But in the cases where people have opened their arms and they're looking for it in place, that we go to do. And I'm with you to side. And even sometimes with a holy kiss. I come in, I kiss Ralph on the head in the mornings. He can't stand it. But I think he's gotten to the place where he says, you know what, that old black preacher, he loves me. And guess what? I do. I love each and every one of you. with the love of Jesus. And I hope that we convey that so that when you see me or when you see Cheryl, you just want to be swallowed by her. I know everybody wants to be swallowed by Cheryl. Who wouldn't want to be? But my intentions are the same to you. That if you just want to be comforted, can I get over this? If you just want to be comforted, I got some. You got some? You got some? Yeah. It'll help people. It'll help newborns. It'll help. That brings us to our last thing. Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. The last one. I said it was 4 through 5. Share God's word and love for sticking power. There's nothing worse than God sending new babies to us, and they come in the front door, and they leave out the back door. And a lot of it has to do with those first 4 principles. Number one, you didn't help them to cut their life, and they've gone back to their own life. You didn't help them get cleaned up. Everybody wants to be clean. You didn't offer that hug. You didn't help them to get, you know, some tough love. Get toughened in the skin. You can't be hurt by everything people say. Because sometimes I don't come from your culture. You don't come from mine. And so we're going to say things abrasive. We're going to say things that may not be the way you talk in your culture. But for many of us, as God's brothers and sisters, I have to learn to get a tougher skin. That everything that's said is not about me personally. Are you with me? Share God's word. If you want people to stick, how many of you want the people who come here to stick? How many of you want John to stick? He's looking for a church. Share God's word. Make sure you speak from the Bible. Did I speak from the Bible this morning? That's how we all always speak. Speak from God's word. Even if you don't like it personally, you still speak in God. Why is that? Because just like the lawyer believes that law words will change this, and just like medical words will change your medical situation, God's word will change the situation of a person's life. Am I wrong or right? And for sticking power, stick with the word. That and love will cause them to stick, or else they don't need to stick. Ezekiel 16:6. Then I passed by, this is God speaking, and I saw you kicking about in your blood. You remember, he's using this illustration, it's kind of gory. You're kicking there in your blood, and as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, you ought to, you're the wrong color. You come from the wrong people. You're no good. Your mama was no good. Your daddy was no good. No, that's not what our God says. Our God walks by. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what culture you come from. I don't care what language you speak. Our God comes by and he says, live! Oh, I'm always astounded by the words of Jesus in John 10:10. He says, I came that you might have life. In all of its fullness, I want you to get it all, and I've got it all. Live! You may be down right now, but that's not what your life is going to be like in the end. It may be challenging right now, but that's not how it's going to be in the end. It may look like you're defeated right now, but I'll stop by to tell you, get up! Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't you look down on you. You've got a God that looks high even in low places. Get up! Yeah. Somebody here this morning. You needed this word right here. Yeah. Live doesn't mean just getting by. I came that you might have life in its fullness. I am the way, the truth, life. I'll give you the best that there is to offer. It don't get no better. Can I get a witness? Am I the only one in here? Am I the only one in here? The tongue has the power of life. Yeah. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Hey, I've got a job. If nothing I know about the Bible, I know to tell people he came so that you guys, in all of his fullness, it's time to really live. Love is for the new believer. Help me out here and tell me what they are. Number one. Everything comes. Nobody is born saved. We come into the new world, which means we got to cut some things. Got something going on here with the software. Ralph, I don't know what that said. Okay. What's the second one? It's tough now. I don't have to kick you to the curb, but I do have to say there's some things I don't do anymore. I don't say anymore. I love you, but I don't go that way. Not anymore. Come on, let's try, let's practice it. Doesn't that feel good? Say, if nobody will hug me, I'm gonna hug myself. Number five, share God's word and love the sticking power. His word lives by actions, by love. Yeah. Everybody's worth it. You know, when we look at Jesus, like the shepherd and the wise men, when they looked at that baby in the house and in that manger, they couldn't tell that was God, but they believed, the shepherds believed what the angel said. The wise men believed what the star told them. He grew up to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me tell you what, as I close, you don't have to worry about becoming that. There's only one person who holds that position. But we can be his kings and his lords on earth, helping it to become the way that it is in heaven. How many are going to do this? How many are ready? How many I'm good preparation. I need to get ready. I need to be one who boots on the ground. I'm going to be your partner. I like the book you shared with us, Deacon Georgia. We got to talk about that book, you know, in terms of minding the gap. It talks about meta partners, which is basically mentors. Everybody needs somebody to walk with them. Are you ready for the new believers God is sending to LHS? If you are, stand to your feet and give God a hand clap. I'm going to ask our music ministers to come. I'm going to ask our counselors if they would come. We have counselors up here. And the reason why they're here is to see people. In other words, we want somebody to give you a hug as soon as you come. And maybe you might be coming because you've got a prayer concern and you just need a hug. We're here for you. The doors of the church open. Jesus' arms open wide, not just for the newborn, but for us that are growing. We got some things that need to be cut. Am I wrong or right? Got some things. There's some areas of our life that need to be cleaned up. Amen. There's some places where I need to practice tough love. There's some places where I need to be the one. I'm always asking for something, but I need to be the one giving. At least give a hug. I need to believe a little bit more in the power of God's word and his love. Won't you come?